Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Ken Barkley is here, and I'm Chris Ranji, filling in for the excitable Nick Kostos. A couple more hours to go on the show this afternoon. Time to turn our attention once again to college football. We go to senior writer for the Action Network, Colin Wilson. You can follow him on Twitter at _Colin1, and he joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Colin. How you doing? How's the Arkansas football party going?
It's going great. Thanks, you guys, for having me on. I always love coming on, and we're sweating a first half Arkansas cover here. A little bit too much steam. Hopefully the Hogs can have this last drive here and get the first half home for everybody.
Nice. Well, Arkansas party. Ranji, I've never attended an Arkansas-Missouri party before. Is this like where does Missouri fall on the Arkansas rival scale, Colin? Like, what made you – obviously, it's Black Friday. It's the day after Thanksgiving, so it's a really good time to have a party. But, like, is this, like, a regular thing? Is the Missouri game one that you're really locked into? For those of us that were born and raised in the Northeast, we're not aware or mindful of such traditions or such things. So, like, what is this game normally for Arkansas?
Out of all the 13 other teams in the SEC, this is the most manufactured rivalry in the history of sport. And you're talking to a guy that literally was born and raised on the Mason-Dixon line on the Arkansas-Missouri border. This is not a rivalry. This is a joke. They made up a trophy for it in 2015. And, you know, we've got Missouri's old coach for our defensive coordinator. I mean, there's these Walton kids that we have floating around Northwest Arkansas, and one of them kind of leaked up to Columbia, and now the Walton name is showing up all over the campus of Missouri. But besides that, there's just no relationship between the two schools.
Hey, I love Barry Odom. Seems like a really nice fella. What is at your party right now? How much Woo Pig Suey is going on? Probably a lot, right?
Everybody's on pins and needles. Everybody knows that I have this first half -8 right here. So, you know, we're all chilling, having a good time. We're really interested in the bowl because a lot of us want to take a vacation to Florida. But it looks like, you know, I know Brett McMurphy does our bowl projections over at Action Network, and he's got us in the Duke's Mayo Bowl in Charlotte. And so a win here is really big for us today. You know, just 8 wins, period, for Arkansas, considering where we were, where we never won a Power 5 game when Chad Morris was coach for 2 years. So it's a pretty big deal what Sam Pittman's been able to do with the program. But, you know, just for personal reasons, I'd like to have a vacation down to Florida more than I would to Charlotte or maybe a Texas Bowl.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, the players, I'm sure, feel the same way. Like, let's go on the awesomest trip imaginable, basically. Like, what's the best place we can go in terms of bowl games? Colin, we'll get to some of your Saturday bets in a second. But for people who are listening live or, you know, going to check out the podcast clip, I guess, right when it's released, there's still two games, obviously a lot of daytime games on Friday, but two games that have not yet started, night games, which feature power conference teams. So maybe people might be interested in placing a bet on them. North Carolina and NC State. And then the matchup of two teams whose, for a variety of reasons, their coaching situations have been in the spotlight, Washington State and Washington in the Apple Cup. So that game is basically a pick with a total of about 46. Carolina's a 6-point dog to NC State in both the night games. Any bets on the two night games? Any looks for people that are listening live?
Yeah, I took the under on the North Carolina-NC State game. This is a game apparently Sam Howell is playing. I don't know if that's been confirmed in the last couple hours, but I was told this morning from a very reliable source that Sam Howell is playing tonight, and I still don't understand why. I mean, if you're going to be one of the top picks in the NFL draft, I don't know why you would play this game, especially against an NC State defense, a 3-3-5 defense that makes quarterbacks look bad, particularly their 8th in the nation in pass breakups. You know, they limit opponent explosiveness, they limit opponent points, and that's not a good combination for, you know, Sam Howell to be putting on film for NFL scouts. So it's really interesting that he's going to play this game. And if you listen to North Carolina's coaches this week, they're really excited about seeing the freshman and sophomore quarterback, the May and the crispy kid, Criswell, to
yeah,
play.
Yeah, Drake May is the backup, right? And that's Luke May's brother, the basketball player, right? Isn't that Drake?
Backup. Yeah. And then Jacoby Criswell, I think they got some snaps last week too. So it sounded like North Carolina was ready to move on, but if Sam Howell's going to play, I still think this is a good underspot. You know, in NC State's offense, it's slow, it's methodical, it's not explosive. They can't run the ball. It's, you know, and they're not very good at finishing drives. So definitely a number I projected in the high 50s, and I can see that the total has steamed down to 61. I'd still take it down to 59.
One of the big, maybe the marquee game over the weekend is Michigan-Ohio State. Right now, Ohio State at, Bet Rivers, they are a 7-point favorite, and the total is 64.5. You do have a play on this game, but I think you got a different number for the spread, right?
Yeah, I took Michigan at 8 early in the week. This was a number that was, 4.5 at some shops a week ago, and now it's inflated because Ohio State has blown out Purdue and Michigan State, but nobody's paying attention to Michigan blowing out Maryland. I think, you know, when you see that electric, explosive offense, you automatically think Ohio State can just blow anybody away, but you know, the defensive coordinator for Michigan is the huge difference. This is not Don Brown running man-to-man and allowing, you know, sending 40% blitz and just getting burned every time at Ohio State's going to score 70. This is a defense that is multiple in 3-3-5. They run man, they run zone, they do a lot of different things with their coverage, and that's the reason why they rank top 10 in coverage. And the last time C.J. Stroud, and this is what amazed me when I was digging for this game, he's not had a turnover-worthy play in the last 9 games except for one team. And that was the team that fielded players that are in the top 100 for secondary for individual players on PFF, and that's Nebraska. He had 4 turnover-worthy plays against Nebraska and JoJo DeMond and some of the guys that they have in their secondary. Michigan is loaded with players in the top 100. Both corners, DJ Turner, the other corner, they're both Vincent Gray. They're both ranked in the top 100. Their safety, Brad Hawkins, is the 18th overall safety in the nation per PFF. So I don't think this is a slam dunk for Ryan Day. Ryan Day even said it on Monday. This is a very complicated scheme for us to try to throw against. So I think Michigan's going to cover, and I think it's going to go down to the wire.
Very, very excited to hear you say that, Colin. Early in the week, I said I liked Michigan. We've had other guests on who I trust, just like you, who said they like Michigan. I think we're all going to be on Michigan against Ohio State, which is a scary thought given recent history. But like you mentioned, hopefully a lot of reasons for optimism. Things, you know, maybe not going to look the same as they've looked for the past several years, which would be bad for our Michigan tickets if it played out in the same way. We go from that game, stakes very high, obviously, in that game, playoff implications, conference title implications. And we go to Florida and Florida State, which is like, I stared at this game and this market for a long time. And I just was like, I don't know. Like, I guess Florida, but am I really even saying that to myself or out loud? Florida, a 3-point favorite with a total of 59. Obviously, handicapping the Gators has been incredibly difficult this year, unless you decided that they were going to implode and you bet against them in every game. What bet do you like in Florida State and Florida, Colin?
Yeah, I'm taking the Gators. If you look at the play log against the Missouri game, I would question whether Mullen really wanted to be there or not. There were some extremely questionable things happening in that game from a play calling standpoint. And even when they were playing Samford, I mean, there was just no defense whatsoever. Whatever the leadership is on the defensive side of the football, I have no clue what it was after Grantham was let go. And now that Mullen's gone, and now that Grantham's gone, you know, this is going to be an Anthony Richardson game. This is the same roster, the same kids that covered and almost beat Alabama. And, you know, I mean, that's the problem is with the coaching. The problem has never been with the talent that the Florida Gators have. And, you know, Florida State is very one-dimensional on offense. It's explosive play or nothing. And it's generally on the ground with Travis, something that Florida is going to be able to stop. They proved that against Alabama. So it's you know, it's just one of those things where it doesn't matter if it's college basketball or if it's college football. When a team goes through some sort of dramatic event, usually the game right after it is where they show up and they have their best performance. So I'm taking Florida all the way. I expect these players, there's a major talent gap between these two rosters, and I think that's going to show on the field tomorrow.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You mentioned Alabama. They will play Auburn, their rival, this weekend. The over-under for the game is 56.5. Alabama is a 19.5-point favorite. You have a play on the total here, but it's also at a different number.
Yeah, over in the first half. I'm not sure there's a number that I wouldn't take in the first half over. And really, I don't have to talk much about what Alabama's doing from an offensive perspective. I think I called Bryce Young a glorified darts player because he just throws the ball wherever the defense isn't covering on the field. I mean, he's one of the best dart players out there. But offensively for Auburn, Harsin is coming under fire down with the local media because Auburn just disintegrates as the game goes on. They score, you know, double-digit points in the first quarter, and then everything tails off. And that's what happened against South Carolina. They scored 14 points in the first quarter, only 3 for the rest of the game. And this is a pattern that's been happening every single week. So I think, you know, this goes back to how much you're paying Brian Harsin. He doesn't make in-game adjustments. He's coming from the Mountain West, and there's some questionable, alumni and fans and media out there that says maybe this guy isn't ready to coach at the SEC level and make adjustments. It's really been the story with Auburn. Lots of points in the first half, and then adjustments come, and then they get shut out. And I expect that to be the case tomorrow. I think Auburn's going to give them a run in the first half. But once, you know, the 200 analysts that Saban has and his coordinators that he has makes adjustments, they'll pull away in this game. And you know, maybe Auburn has a chance at a backdoor cover. But I think there'll be plenty of points in the first half of this game.
Colin, we go to the Big 12 next, and this is not something that we would have said the last few years on the show, but Kansas games have been very interesting this year and provided, you know, interesting, I think, spots to bet both sides. Kansas, a team that legitimately, you know, really, really, really could have gotten to this point and said, we've actually beaten Texas and Oklahoma in the same season, which is unbelievable. Obviously didn't quite get it done against Oklahoma, but beat Texas in a completely ridiculous, dramatic game. And they conclude their season at home against West Virginia in kind of an interesting spot. So Kansas is more than a 2-touchdown underdog, about 15.5 with a total of 56. Are we looking at the Jayhawks here who have had kind of an interesting, like dicey, you know, cover filled season?
Yeah, they figured it out at the quarterback position. And with Lance Leipold, you know, you knew that at some point they were going to come around the corner. This is one of the most talent drought teams in all of Power 5. But that doesn't mean that the head coach can't do anything with them. Because if you remember Buffalo, I said this a million times about Buffalo, they finished up either dead last in the MAC or the bottom three, like outside the top 10 in recruiting all those years that Lance Leipold was there in Buffalo. And they still made conference championship games and won the conference. So it's not really a thing where, he's going to get the most out of this roster. And that's why you started to see him cover a bunch of games. They were leading Oklahoma going into the fourth quarter. They're still trying to get their first win. And I know that I've got them on the spread, and I'm probably going to sprinkle some money on them before the night's over, because that's just a reflection of coaching. Great coaching is what they have at Lawrence now.
Want to go over one last game with you here. Texas A&M will be in Louisiana taking on LSU. And you've got A&M a 6-point favorite here.
Yeah, this is a game I'm going to play LSU. Coach O, we're getting one more rah-rah shot for the old coach that recruited everybody there. The players love this kid. But not only that, they have Mason Smith coming back on the defensive line. He is the size of a house. I think he's like 6'6", 300 pounds of it's Jordan Davis type stuff as far as size and controlling the trench in there for LSU. But, you know, this is the last game for all these players. They came to LSU for Coach O. And we know that if there's a one-game sample set and there's one coach that can get his team fired up, it's this. And then for Texas A&M, I'm not really sure what they're playing for. It looks like Ole Miss, after last night, has got the Sugar Bowl locked up. Texas A&M won't, you know, get to achieve some of the goals they had at the beginning of the season. And then if you go back and look at it, the reason why LSU has been successful in recent weeks, and maybe not winning games, but covering games and playing with, you know, at least an attitude that we didn't expect out of a team that's fired their head coach, they're blitzing all the time. They're running heavy blitz, zero blitz, and that's not a good combination for Zach Calzada, somebody that makes mistakes plenty when there's some pressure on him in the pocket. So this is going to be LSU all the way. Another game that I'm going to play money line on.
Colin, we appreciate your time this afternoon to take time out in the middle of your Arkansas party. At the half right now, Razorbacks lead 10-6 over Missouri. So best of luck to you. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.